What's up, guys? I'm Cora.
And I'm Sharon.
And this is Learning on the Job, a podcast for moms.
Join us as we talk about our highs and lows and everything in between on this journey of motherhood.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Learning on the Job podcast. I hope you guys are all doing well today. We are really excited about this episode, and rather than have our normal small talk, we're just going to get right into it. All right. Well, we are so excited because we have a guest with us today. We're so excited to have Valerie Recor here. She is a productivity specialist. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm tripping over my words today. And we're so excited. Your company is Stride Productivity. So I'm really excited to learn about you and about what you do. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So thank you for having me. I am a mom of two girls. They are 7 and almost 10. And I have a background in mental health and corporate training. And then when my now almost 10-year-old was born, I decided I was done climbing the corporate ladder. I wanted to find that like magic balance that all mothers are looking for of the right amount of work and being home with their kids. And like, I'm going to quit this job, start my own professional organizing business. And so I was a professional organizer for several years. And so basically organizing people's stuff in their homes. And over time, that has morphed into what I do now as a productivity specialist for moms. And that came from years of listening to friends talk about how busy they were or complaining about their partners and why, you know, feeling like they were doing everything themselves, and me just feeling like that didn't sit right with me. I really just felt like it didn't need to be this way. And so, and having a few organizing clients where I spent more time helping them organize their to-do lists and how they were spending their days versus their stuff. And I realized that that's really what I love to do, is help moms stop being so overwhelmed. And then the last few years with COVID is really just with this pandemic and watching moms just being kind of crushed under the weight of everything that has gone on top of everything before COVID, and just really feeling like there's a need for moms to shift how they're spending their days, and just society shifting and how we, the expectations that we give our moms. And so that's where we are today. And then I recently became a certified Fair Play Method facilitator. And you'll hear me talk a lot probably during this conversation about Fair Play and the method that is used to just help create some equity in the household with your partner as well.
Wow, that sounds really cool, actually. I think it's something that, I mean, I don't know a mom that couldn't, you know, relate to those feelings and wishing that they had different methods for dealing with just daily life, because sometimes it does get really chaotic. So,
So,
you know, I know you kind of created this business. What exactly do you do? How do you go about helping moms with these daily tasks?
So, my work is all done through a one-on-one coaching, with the plan to do group coaching in the near future, and all within a virtual community as well, because I know that motherhood can be lonely, and I want moms to know that we're all kind of going through the same thing. We've all been there, or we are there. And the one-on-one coaching or the group coaching is really just helping moms look at how they're spending their time, truly, like really where is it going on a daily basis, and how do they want to be spending their time? What does their dream of, what would a good, wonderful day look like? And how does that feel, and working towards getting them there? And so everything I do is tailored to the client and tailored to that person. And then the Fair Play stuff and that comes in as well in that work. But I'm coming from a place where I think moms do way too much. And I want moms to know that it does not have to be this way, that we do not have to take on everything, and we do not have to do it all in order to be successful. And that when we focus on our goals in life and our family's goals and our values and all of that, and make sure that our to-do lists fit those goals and values, that we do have time for everything that we want to be doing in our days. And we can better let go of the things that don't fit there.
Well, that's definitely nice to hear. I mean, like, moms don't need to do it all. And I know it's definitely overwhelming for me.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. I know I feel that pressure to do it all a lot. Like, even when I have my partner around, I don't know what it is, but you just feel compelled, like, to step in to make the situation as best as you can because you're the one that typically deals with it. So, you know how to fix the situation the easiest. I think I have a hard time with that sometimes. And I just kind of take over too much, which just overwhelms me in the long run. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that you have a website, and Cora, I don't know if you did this, but I did look on your website and you have a quiz. Did you take the
Yeah.
quiz?
I
So,
have.
what who did you get, Cora?
No, I didn't get a chance to take it.
Oh, okay.
I meant to.
So, I did take the quiz. It said I got Gwendolyn from Bad Moms. And I hadn't seen that movie in so long, but I feel like the description describes me pretty well. But for our listeners, we'll share your website and like link you and everything in our Instagram. But this quiz, it tells you which movie mom best matches your productivity and organization style. And I just thought it was a cute, fun little quiz. And I
Good.
will say, I think it is more tailored to moms with older children, with more activities and stuff. But I mean, I was still able to take it with an almost 12-month old, just because I mean, like she doesn't just come with a teeny tiny bag either. She's got multiple bags that I have to lug around anytime I take her anywhere.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I highly recommend all of our listeners to go and take it, see what movie mom you are, and let us know. Because mine said, like, all the kids are signed up for multiple activities, which I mean, I can definitely see that. Like,
Now
that's
you already
something
got her
that
in swim lessons. I could see
I.
that
Yeah.
being close to me too, because, I've
Yeah,
already got her in gymnastics.
it
Doing
says
many
my days are
things.
packed mostly with my kids' activities, which I mean, yeah, pretty much. And occasionally with your own commitments. And yeah, that's pretty much how my days go, is everything is pretty much revolving around Jenny. And then if there's a little opening, I can put my own thing in there.
Squeeze something in. That's funny because one of the other response that there are three different results you can get, and one of them is designed for younger kids. So it's funny that this was where
Oh,
you
nice.
landed versus the other one.
That's funny.
That's okay. It's what resonated when you were taking the quiz. So, and you said that the results felt right for you. So that's
Yeah.
funny.
I did think that there was a few questions where like some of the answers I had to sit there and kind of think about because they some of them were just so very similar and it was just a few little things that were defining factors. And I was just had to ponder over that a little bit.
Well, I know that you mentioned that, I think a lot of this has to do with the mental and invisible load that moms carry on themselves. So, I guess what is your views on that, and what do you think moms should do to lighten that load?
Yeah, so I have all sorts of opinions on this topic. The invisible load is really, it's all of the things that we do as moms that nobody else sees. So it's how you end up with toilet paper and toothpaste in your bathroom and condiments in your kitchen and in your fridge, and things are just done and nobody else really knows. They just expect that it's going to happen. So the sheets are clean, the laundry is done, groceries are bought, the diaper bag is packed. And a lot of that comes from, we could look way back as in society as like what toys little kids play with. But I want to start with when you have a baby. So Sharon, you said you've got a 12-month-old. So when she was born, there women are more likely to take maternity leave, and men either don't get paternity leave or they're not encouraged to take it if they do have it. And so we are led to believe that as women, we're just naturally better at all of this stuff, when in reality, it's that you've just been doing more of it. And so we are home. We leave the house with the baby more. So we're the ones that pack the diaper bags. We know, we start to learn the baby's cries. Okay, this means that. We know she's probably hungry, this and that. Okay, this is her favorite outfit. Whatever that looks like, we get better at changing diapers. We know what foods they like. And it continues from there. And so men, because they are at work versus being home more, don't have that same experience. And so as moms, then we see our husband is struggling with changing the diaper, or, oh, you're going to leave. Let me make sure that you have everything you need in the diaper bag, or just letting them go. They don't know what they're missing because they haven't been doing it. And so then they're sort of set up for failure because now they're out in public with a half packed diaper bag. And so from there, I think it just gets worse as the kids then get older. We just continue doing those things. We're the ones who take our kids shoe shopping, and we're the ones that are buying clothes and going to the doctor's appointments and scheduling the dentist appointments and doing all of that stuff because we just feel by nature we're better at it, or we should just do it because it'll happen more when we take it on. And then we find ourselves several years down the road, exhausted, resentful, because we've been doing all of this stuff for years while also possibly maintaining a full-time job or running a business. Or even if you are home full-time, like, there is way more work in raising kids and keeping a house functioning than one person can do in any given day, whether they're home full-time doing it or not. And so it starts there. That's sort of how we get into this mess. And then we just take it all on. We don't know how to do that knowledge transfer to our partners because we've just been doing it for so long. We're so used to things being done a certain way on our timeline that then letting go of that and letting somebody else do the work is really hard. And so I think it starts with acknowledging that, understanding that it's not all on us. We don't all need to do it as mom, or we don't need to do it all as moms. Working towards letting go of some of that resentment so that we can then shift it, and realizing that most men, not all, but most men were raised in families where they didn't see any of this happening. Their moms, whether they worked full-time or part-time or were home, most likely had the stereotypical gender roles. And so they didn't grow up seeing all of the work it takes to raise kids and run a household. So they're not necessarily ignoring the fact that you're doing all of it. They just simply have absolutely no idea. They want to help. They want to be a part of, they want to be your partner and be a part of all of this, but they don't know how to do it. And we don't know how to let them. And so that's where the Fair Play Method comes in. And it's this wonderful book by a woman named Eve Rodsky. And she created this whole method on how to have these conversations with your partner to shift that invisible load, to make it more visible and give you a way to have the conversations that are not you passive aggressively leaving notes on your husband's mirror in the bathroom to like remember to do something. Like, you're having these respectful conversations where you are a part, your partners, you're a team, and it's the two of you against the world. And that's where it starts. So that's the beginning of that. And I'll take a breath and see what questions you have there. I can keep going on this topic for a while. So,
oh, I completely agree with it. I mean, even just earlier tonight, like, I was telling my husband something and he thinks that I give too much information. And he's like, you could have just said this. And I was like, no, like, I'm telling you everything that's going through my head. He stays with her at home right now until she gets into daycare and he starts a job. So I'm like, you're the one that's going to be with her all day. So I'm telling you all of this because this is everything that goes through my head, because up until this past week, I've been the one that's been home with her all day, like working from home and watching her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to get him to be like in the stay-at-home mom mind. Yeah. I'm just like, that's what this is. It's a lot of information. And I would tell whoever's watching her all this information. And he was like, he just can't comprehend that. He's just like, just give me the cut dry piece of information. I was like, I thought this was the shortened version, but I guess not.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I can say, you know, I feel pretty fortunate that I have a partner that is pretty in tune with a lot of things, tries to be very involved in, you know, her life, you know, and what's going on in her developmental stages. My daughter's 14 months old, so she's a little bit older than Sharon's daughter, but not by much. But nonetheless, I work from home, so for the most part, so I stay with her all day also. So even though I have someone that's like completely willing, and like when he gets home, he's like completely a present partner that splits a lot of the work with me as much as he can, you know, I still take on a lot of that. And definitely when it comes to like that mental load that you're talking about, like with the buying the clothes and the shoes and the doctor's appointments and, you know, making sure that we have what we need and things like that. You know, it's I take a lot of that on. And so even I just think, you know, it definitely can be prevalent in like any situation that's with, you know, similar.
Yeah. Like, and I wanted to ask, so like what is a good way to start these conversations? And an example of an issue that like Cora and I both have expressed on here is that even when our partners are there and present and like they're not absent or anything, we still feel like we're the ones that have to ask for permission just to go to the bathroom. Like we feel like we have to ask for permission to do anything other than take care of the kids.
Because we're the primary caretaker the majority of the time.
Yeah. Like I feel like there's times whenever, like, not that my husband's getting upset with me, but like if it's almost like it feels like he's acting like it's an inconvenience that I'm going to the restroom at this moment whenever he wanted to go do something else. And he doesn't really ask for permission, because that's how it's been, is he can just get up and leave whenever, and I'm taking care of her. And it's not necessarily causing like issues, but it's like it's one of those things that like after time we as moms, like, it kind of builds and we hear it a certain way, and then whenever we try to say it, I know at least in my case, like, he feels attacked, almost like he's doing something wrong whenever he's not really doing anything wrong at all. It's just that situation. So like what's a good way to talk about this?
Yeah, so it's an invitation. First, it's doing maybe some mindset work on your own to let go of some of that resentment, so that the resentment isn't coming into those conversations, which I fully understand that is not always like the easiest thing to do this. So the invitation would come from, and her book does have some wording that you can use, but what it would come in with is like, hey, like, I know, I've learned about this new method, or this new, there's a deck of cards that you can buy that I find really helpful. I use with my husband, and it sort of takes the pressure off of me telling you or telling my husband, like, I need you to do this. It's, hey, look, I have this new tool I really want us to try to use that's going to help me as a mom feel less overwhelmed and you as a dad be more involved, and we're a team, and this is going to help us be a team in our household. And so it kind of starts there, and the deck of cards, I will, if you were to look at, it's big, there's a lot. And the first time we opened it together and sat down, I was just like, what have we gotten ourselves into? This is crazy. But you don't have to do the entire deck of cards really ever, but you could pick one and start. So a few weeks ago, so we just moved this summer. We're still in the like unpacking, organizing things part, you know, their boxes. Anyway, we also have a lot of dishes. So dishes are a big thing in our house. My husband and I both work from home. He cooks a lot. We go through a lot of dishes, and my desk is in the kitchen, like basically like right next to all of the dishes. And I'm like, I'm tired of looking at the dishes all day, feeling like they're my problem because you're off working in the basement. And can we come up with a plan together to deal with the dishes? And so it's maybe picking either a sticking point, so something that you're really frustrated with, like picking one, like the dishes for me, but maybe it's like, go, you know, you needing just 5 minutes for yourself. So some of the cards in there, she's got what she calls the happiness trio, and it's making time for yourself and time as a couple. And I am blanking on what the third one is, but it's sort of the like fun and time with friends. So it may be picking one of those things in there and just saying, look, I need time on occasion, and your partner gets the same time to go do X, Y, and Z. And so maybe it's not like I need time to pee, but it's time that I need time to myself. And here's when you're in charge of the kid. And there's kind of some more steps in there, but that's the biggest part, is like, I just want to have a conversation with you that brings us together. And then if it doesn't work that first time, if maybe you're still coming in with some frustration or his reaction isn't what you want it to be, trying again and reframing it as like, look, when I said this and you responded this way, here is how I heard that, and sort of what are the stories you're telling yourself about that situation. And I am not a couples counselor here, so like sometimes there are deeper issues that couples counseling might be more suited for, but knowing that maybe the first time around, that invitation, that it might not come, it might not happen in the way the response might not be what you want it to be, because this is a big, like, you've been thinking about it for a while, right? Before you get to the invitation, let's say after this call, it may be a few days, a few weeks before you do that. So you've been processing it. He's going to hear it as it came out of nowhere, and he doesn't want status quo to change because things are working for him. And so he doesn't want to have that conversation. And he gets to be the stay-at-home dad. And so maybe he's also at a point where he wants to do that his way versus how you would do it if you were home. So there could probably be some conversation in there as well, as kind of what that looks like and what the expectations are for both of you.
Okay. Yeah. That card deck sounds very interesting. I'll have to look into that.
It's very helpful. I think it gives you a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And things to talk about that you might not have thought of.
And I think that would be very helpful for a lot of couples. Cause I know, like, in our situation, I feel like I over explain things to him sometimes, because I'm trying to make it come off. Like, I'm trying to make him let him know that I have been thinking about this a while. Like, mm-hmm. it's not coming out of nowhere. And so I do try to, I add a lot more stuff in there to fluff it up so that it's not coming out so harsh. But then he's taking it as, come on, get to the point. Mm-hmm. And there have been times whenever we've had to sit down and like really try to talk about like what you were saying, like one topic, one thing, one issue, mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. stray. And so I do think that having a card deck that can kind of help give you the ideas if you don't know where to start, I think mm-hmm. that's very beneficial.
Yeah, I think just picking one little spot in there is perfect. And I also want to address, if listeners out there are going, okay, fine, this is lovely and all, but why me? Like, why do I have to be the one to take that step to have that conversation? And I think the answer to that is because you want things to change. Like, you're ready for the status quo to shift. You are ready for something different. And now you have a tool, and you want something different for your kids too. So I think that thinking about, you know, how are we modeling all of this for our kids? Like, I have two daughters, and I remember several years ago, and one of them was talking about how dad goes off to work and mom stays home. And I thought, that's lovely. And if that is what women want, perfect. That is not what I want. And I want my kids to know that there are other options out there. And mm-hmm. so it's like, what are we modeling to our kids? My husband loves to cook. I do not like to cook. And I love that that is a thing that they get to witness, that dad is cooking most of our meals. He cooks, and they get to join him, and they know that men cook, and that's a wonderful thing. And so it's thinking about, what are we modeling for our kids, as well as, yes, this is maybe seen as one more thing to add to our to-do list, but over time, it takes so much off of your plate. That mental load shifts, and you are not doing everything because you now have a partner who's helping you and working with you to do it.
I definitely agree. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think too, it's because what we've said is, moms, we're thinking about all this, and we do tend to think about things longer and overthink about things a lot more, and men just kind of like, they think about it and it's gone, and they're over it. Mm-hmm. And so for at least like in our situation, it's like we see this as an issue and we see this as a problem, whereas the men, a lot of times, like you have one conversation, they think, okay, we had the talk, like it's over and done with, but like a solution was not actually reached. And yeah. So I do think that, yeah, this would be something that like moms would probably have to take on so that we can say that we've moved forward into fixing these issues, and then bringing in the dads to then help resolve them so that we both get that closure that we need on whatever the issue is. Because I know that's that's an issue for us all the time, is one of us will feel like there's been closure and the other one won't. And so we keep coming back to it until like we both finally get the closure.
Yeah. And I'm glad to hear you, like, that you keep coming back to it. And with the Fair Play deck, it's going to be an ongoing conversation. So my husband and I have been doing the dishes a certain way. We split it up where we're each in charge of the dishes for 1 week at a time. So this week, I don't have to worry dishes. It's not my problem. If the kitchen is a mess, it's not my problem. Next week it is. And in a few weeks, we'll talk about it. Did this work? Did we hate this? Was, you know, what can we tweak and change? And because things shift, we can't just say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and then expect it to be that way forever. Just like our kids change, right? Their routines, their needs change, especially when they're little, on a very regular basis. And you constantly need to be evaluating what's going on. You're going to do that with all of these household tasks as well, as things change.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all of that. And I think communication and like finding ways to, you know, make things more of a partnership are really important. I know that those are things that me and my husband try and implement in our lives. And, you know, both because that's always how we've treated each other, but also because we do want to be intentional with like how we treat each other. We talk about all the time, like we want, you know, everything that we do, we know it's like going to be reflected like through our daughter. So we talk about that. And, you know, just like little things, like obviously I'm the one that's thinking of like the things the baby needs, diapers, you know, we're not on formula anymore, but, you know, once upon a time, or like baby food, snacks, things like that. And he helps out by, I just have to put it on a list and he'll stop at the store on the way home. So that's one less thing that I have to worry about, is like going and getting all this stuff. And he also really does love to cook. So he does, you know, do the majority of the cooking in our house too. Which is, I think also nice because same reason, you know, it's nice to show that it doesn't all have to be mom doing absolutely everything. And I know that it really, like, I already feel under so much stress that like those little things help so much that I just can't imagine like someone that's in a situation where they are really having to take on absolutely everything.
Yeah, it gets tricky at that point. There are bigger things going on there.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. But I think, you know, sometimes it also is just the kind of those preconceived notions even going into parenthood based on like how we were all raised, like women are supposed to do all these things, and you know, the men, as long as they're working and providing monetarily, like that's good enough. And so I don't think everyone talks about it, and I think you're right that it can cause resentment to build.
It's also kind of like going off of what you said, Cora, it's a lot of how you were brought up, and a lot of people were brought up differently. And so that can, like, if the wife is from a household where everything was partnered and split and everything, but the dad was from a household where the mom did everything, then that's gonna cause a lot of conflict and could cause resentment or whatever, if there's not any type of talk or discussion or anything about this. And I know almost like pretty much every single week, every few days, we find something new that we have to sit down and talk about, because another issue, like not an issue, but like another thing just kind of evolves, and we have to figure out, okay, how are we going to handle this? And I mean, like I said, like just recently, I just started a new job, and then my husband is looking for a job, and so he, like, we're kind of in this transitioning period where we're all doing a lot and trying to get to that spot whenever we can kind of breathe a little bit, like once he gets a job and he doesn't have to worry about looking. And then right now our next goal is getting our daughter into daycare so that he can really put a lot more focus into finding a job. And then of course once he gets the job, there's no waiting period of trying to get into a daycare. And so I know, like, every single week something like one or five things come up that we're just constantly having to talk about and get over that next hump of getting on the same page.
And I think having weekly conversations for that, maybe it's just like a Sunday night date night, and that's just when you can bring all that stuff to the table and have that, then you know those conversations are happening and you're on the same page. And I remember my parents were always on the same page about everything. I could always tell when they had gone out to dinner and talked about certain things and come home. And we, you know, we're having a conversation because, like, it's very clear that they just talked about this to make sure that they were on the same page. And yeah, things are always shifting with kids, and just being able to open up that communication and remembering that, you know, our partners want to be a part of this. And I think the other piece in there too is we've all been led through fairy tales that we should just be able to read each other's minds. We should just automatically know, like, he should just be able to know what I need. And that is not true. It's not true on either end. Like, you have to talk about those things and communicate them, because it is just, it's not a fairy tale where they just magically know that you need these things to happen. And I think studies have shown, same for women, like they'll ask women questions about their husbands and they think that they're on top of all these things, and they're really not, in the ways that, like, we seem to think we're reading each other's minds. And so that communication piece is huge in there, of making sure you're on the same page and actually talking about things.
Well, and talking about, you know, people and, like, developing, you know, me and my husband have been together for 6 years now, and it's easy to get into, like, oh, you kind of tell yourself in your mind, this is how this person is about this certain thing. And even though you're with them every day, you don't always allow yourself the chance to reframe that thought of them. So even though they're a person and they've been developing over this period of time, and they could have completely different views or ways they act about certain things, we always kind of, I think, revert back to that. So that's important too, is remembering that being a marriage is like growing with someone over time, and like knowing that, like, there's going to be times where you're going to have growing pains because you're both developing. And I know Sharon and I, especially, like, we're both new moms, so this is like a huge adjustment period because we're not used to any of this. Like, that's the whole, like, point of our podcast here is, you know, we don't have any idea, you know, what, we've never done this before, and neither have they, like, our partners. Like, they're getting used to being fathers for the first time and having this. So it's something I'm mindful of a lot, is like, it's an adjustment period for everybody. And
okay, so we're going to go ahead and move into our next segment, which we love to do with every single one of our guests on here, and that is our rapid fire questions. So just say the first thing that comes to your mind, no stress, no pressure, just all fun.
Okay,
so what is your zodiac sign?
Taurus.
All right, what is your favorite TV show?
Oh gosh, so too many. My favorite one currently is A Million Things. A million little things.
Million Little Things.
Yes.
I've seen some episodes of that. I kind of want to get into it. I really got This Is Us.
I got sucked into it during COVID and was really sad when I got all cut up and then I had to wait last season for the weekly. I will warn you, it does start out its very first episode is really heavy, but I love the series beyond that. So
I'll need to check it out.
When you do watch it, know the very first episode is really heavy and don't let it scare you off.
Okay. Beef or chicken?
Chicken.
All right. What's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh my gosh. They all just collided in my head. We'll just go with rude people. It probably covers a lot right there.
Yeah, I totally feel that. Favorite meal to make?
Well, we did talk about how I don't like cooking.
What's your favorite meal for your husband to make?
Yeah, to be made for you.
I do love a good breakfast, fried egg and pancakes, something delicious like that. Yeah.
Name a place you'd love to visit.
I'd love to visit. Fiji.
Ooh, same. What's your favorite holiday?
Christmas. I love this time of year. I do not like Halloween, but now that we're past that, Thanksgiving into Christmas is my favorite time.
Same. Yeah. I don't hate Halloween, but I'm not a big Halloween person. I'm not a fan.
It gets nutty when you're trick-or-treating. I have opinions about Halloween. We'll save for another time.
Oh, we were just talking about them last week about how we don't think trick-or-treating is going to be a thing very much in the future. So we're right there with you.
We just stopped that. Yeah. Yeah.
We think that it's going to be more like the fall festivals, trunk or treating, things like that, where it's more like community oriented rather than taking your kids door to door.
Okay.
I love the concept of Halloween. I love the dressing up part of it. And I like the decorations too. It's not what it was. I miss what it was in the 90s when I was a child. Mm-hmm. It's just not that anymore. Yeah. So.
It's commercialized. The candy, excessive candy is what gets to me.
But I understand that.
Yeah. Well, and one thing that I did mention on our episode last week was that something that as my daughter gets older, right now we didn't trick or treat because she can't eat it and we're not big candy people. One thing that we're wanting to look into doing, it's called the Switch Witch and just letting her take some candy and then taking some of it and she doesn't get the rest or saving it for whatever else because we don't want candy to be a big thing in the house just because it just sits around and we don't want her to just sit there and eat it all.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Well, we're going to go into our last segment, which we do every episode. It's Oh Shits and Oh Yas. So basically you'll just say one positive thing that you've got going on and one negative thing that you've got going on. It can just be something that's stressing you out or whatever. It can be just whatever you're feeling. So I don't want to go first. I went first last time.
I'll go first then.
Okay.
So my oh shit, it's kind of a two-parter. First is that I spilled breast milk on my leg today while I was pumping at work. And so that was a little devastating because I don't pump that much already. And then to spill some, it made me sad. And then Jenny has anal fissures, whatever. She's been a little constipated. And so I'm going to call the doctor tomorrow just because we try to give her fiber every day, but it's kind of getting to the point, she'll be fine and then she'll struggle, then she'll be fine and then she'll struggle. So now it's kind of getting to the point that it's I don't want to feed her just fiber all day, every day. But it's I don't know what else to do because she's just been struggling every now and then. So I'm going to have to deal with that. And I mean, other than that, she's fine. She doesn't really seem to be in pain or anything except when she's trying to poop. So hopefully that's the only issue that she really has. trying to stay on the positive side. But oh yeah, is that I'm almost done with my first week at my new job. So, and so far it's gone good. Pumping is different, but that's gone good. And yeah, hopefully Ginny gets into this daycare and everything just kind of keeps moving along how we're hoping everything plans to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Okay. Valerie, what about you?
Yeah. I, so my, oh shit, and oh yeah, are actually going to be the same thing.
Okay.
So my, my 9-year-old is going to be 10, in a couple of weeks. And so I'm about to have a tween, and I am of the belief that kids get, I kind of think they get more fun as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Or different, or I don't like, it's not necessarily better, but they're just fun to hang out with. Like, I just love hanging out with my kids right now and watching them like really grow into who they are as people versus these tiny little creatures. Like, they're people now with full on opinions. But my oldest is also like full of attitude and full of emotions. Like, everything is just like a big emotion. And I just remember how much, like, she's in fourth grade, so we're coming upon middle school soon, and like I hated middle school. And so that just like how awful girls can be as teenagers, and just wanting to, like, now it's sort of like we gave her a book on puberty and like growing up this week, and she's just sucking it all up. But I'm like, okay, now we have to actually like deal with this stuff. And so it's sort of both this like, it's awesome watching my kids grow up, and also like, okay, things are getting real. And we have some big, big emotions and big things coming in the future. Not to say that small people do not have big emotions. They're just, they're different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can definitely say, like, it's a double-edged sword, because I'm so excited to get to those stages. I think the same thing, like, I'm so excited to watch her grow and her personality develop and to see her blossom into the person she's going to be. But every day that she grows, I'm like a little sadder. I'm just stay, you know, because you just don't want them to grow. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, my OSHA is, I feel like maybe this has even potentially been one for me in the past, but like, I don't know, for the past like year or so, I've had these like reoccurring issues where I get like really bad stomach aches just randomly in the middle of the night. I haven't had one in a while, but I got one last night. I can't figure out exactly what's causing them, but it's not a fun time whenever it happens, because yeah, so that was not a fun time and kind of felt like not great today. So meh. But my oh yeah is, I'm very excited because my husband's family is coming for Thanksgiving. So his sister and brother-in-law and his nephews and niece will be in town, which is great because we love seeing their kids and we love getting all the cousins together. And I know it'll make his mom really happy. So just excited that they're going to, you know, we're going to have that family time for the holidays. And that's, I think, you know, my favorite part of like, especially Thanksgiving, is just like family time. So
fun.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. We really enjoyed you coming on. I think that you taught Sharon and I both a lot. So I can only imagine, you know, what you've taught our listeners as well. I would love,
we'll definitely have to get that book.
And yes, like, that was gonna be my next question. Was, can you repeat the book first, and the author, in case somebody wants to look that up?
Yeah, so it's called Fair Play. And if you just, and the author is Eve Rodsky.
Okay.
And if you look that up, it's her deck of cards as well. So if you just look up, I think it's like Fair Play Life, or just Google Fair Play, it will come up, the book and the cards are all available together. And I highly recommend them. And then if you're reading them and you're trying to figure out how to implement them and you're stuck, let me know and I'm happy to help get you started.
Yeah. Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Stride Productivity, and then at strideproductivity.com. And from that website, you can find the link to my quiz that Sharon was talking about, and sign up for kind of whatever support I can offer you. You can contact me that way. And that's, I'd be awesome. Happy. I'd love to hear what people think of all of this and this conversation today, and there's anything I can do to help them move further along that path.
And if for anybody interested, the book is the book and cards are available on Amazon. The book is available for like $16 and the cards are available for like $19.
Yeah, we'll have to link those. And I think since I haven't taken the quiz, I can link them
in stories.
That sounds good. I haven't taken the quiz yet, so I think whenever I do it, I'm going to record myself and like read the questions out loud so that I can let people in on this experience. Well, thank you guys so much. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. I know that Sharon and I definitely did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd love to have you back in the future. So,
okay, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And yeah, we'll link all of your stuff to our social media so everyone can find you. And if anybody listening has any questions, feel free to reach out to Valerie, leave comments on our post on Instagram, mm-hmm. and let us know what you thought. If you take the quiz, let us know what you get so Cora and I can see how many of each different person we have. Maybe Valerie, we can chat with you afterwards and you can tell us the three different responses that we can get, and we can even mm-hmm. do a poll with our listeners who take the quiz and see who all are each different response. I think that'd be fun.
I'd definitely be happy to do that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Well, thank you guys so much. If you're looking to talk to us, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can find us at Learning on the Job Moms at Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. You can also email us at learningonthejobmoms@gmail.com.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you again, Valerie, for talking with us. And we mm-hmm. hope you all have a fantastic week.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Bye.